Text 51551. Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Well, Boris Johnson has pledged to make changes to the law that could see an end to prosecutions of veterans of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. The Prime Minister also said he would protect armed forces veterans from what he termed as vexatious legal actions of historic cases. Well, for their reaction to this, I'm joined now by Michael Finucane, solicitor and son of murdered solicitor Pat Finucane, and by Ben Lowry, deputy editor of the Belfast Newsletter. Good morning to you both. Thank you very much for joining us. I'll start with you first, Ben. Why has Boris Johnson come out with this now? I mean, has he been under pressure to defend veteran soldiers from legal action?
Well, this has been a simmering issue for a number of years, so he has been under pressure. This has gradually come to the consciousness of people in England, and particularly veterans groups, and if any party you would expect to be defending them, it would be the Conservative Party, and that's why he's doing this in an election campaign.
And Ben, do we have any idea how many veterans, how many soldiers could be facing fresh legal action?
Well, the nationalist Republican argument is that there were a lot of killings that were not investigated at the time. And there probably were relatively cursory investigations at the time. Of course, the argument of the other side, we as a newspaper, the unionist newspaper, is very concerned about this, say that there was a chaos due to terrorism, and that is why it wasn't argued at the time. But most of the killings by the state forces in Northern Ireland are pre-1975. It's about 200 of the 360 or so killings by the state. And the way the legacy process has worked is essentially all of these killings have been reinvestigated, and a very high proportion. I think at one stage it was one third of the legacy investigation branch was into state killings. And the argument in favour of the state is that it was only responsible for 10% of the killings, and indeed that most of those killings were illegal, therefore that this is disproportionate. So how many actually face prosecution, nobody knows. It's a very small number of trials that are coming up. But what might come out of these investigations, ultimately, possibly, in theory, is many, many prosecutions, or a few dozen in any event. And that would cause uproar on a scale that just wouldn't be tolerated, I would suggest.
And of course, the British PM said he wants to protect veterans from what he termed vexatious legal actions. I mean, Ben, how many legal actions have been vexatious, as he terms them?
Well, again, there's a disagreement on this. People who say that these trials are legitimate would say that there have been no vexatious prosecutions. And at the other end of the argument is the fact that the real reason why all of these investigations take place is an attempt, is a vexatious mindset to imply that the British state and terrorists, and we are a newspaper who continues to call them terrorists. I know some people don't accept that term. Many people don't accept that term. These are that there is that an equating between the two. And I think, by the way, from a Northern Ireland unionist perspective, there's a particular concern that another English nationalist thing could be happening here, as has happened with the southern border that we have in the Irish Sea, where Northern Ireland became a bit of a problem. And they really have sort of left it half in, half out of the EU. Well, the other thing is that the RUC, who were responsible for around 50, 55 or something like that deaths, get abandoned by this process, which is all about protecting veterans. And you get into the extraordinary situation that the army, which clearly has the most to answer when it comes to these killings, gets protections that RUC officers, who the argument in favour of the RUC, which was so disciplined during the Troubles. I know this is not a view that Republicans would accept for 5 seconds, but this is the view that the RUC get abandoned in this process. I'm not aware of the Prime Minister having mentioned policemen, and incredibly, DUP MPs, probably to curry favour with Tory MPs, have in the House of Commons often spoken about veterans and have seemingly not mentioned the RUC as much as they could. So we could get into a process where the RUC get left behind in this to placate veterans when most of the killings that are dubious are early in the Troubles by soldiers.
Just before I bring Michael in, I mean, Ben, for someone listening today who perhaps their son, their daughter, their husband, their wife, their sister, brother were in their eyes murdered by a British soldier and new evidence emerged, Is it not just unfair that that soldier should be prosecuted?
I think this is a very important point that you make. And I think that anybody who has been killed or who has had a relative killed by agents of the state, I mean, it's bad enough to be killed in a conflict, but to be killed by agents of the state, obviously the feeling is going to be, it's not something anybody would ever recover from. There's no doubt about that. But it's so important to understand the context and the other view in this. The other view in this is that, as I said, not only were 90% of the killings, all of which legally were murders in the Troubles by terrorists, and most of the state forces killings, this is the view that the people who defend the state were legal. These terrorist killings mostly have not had redress, will not get redress, are not the subject of British taxpayer-funded legal actions that are swamping the Northern Ireland courts against the state forces. They are not the subject of Bloody Sunday-style investigations. They are not the subject of the major multi-million pound investigation into the what's called the Ballymurphy massacre. There's no investigation into the fact that IRA killers felt that they could locate themselves in the Irish Republic. There's growing anger. There is a, not only are there these people who have a horrendous memory of the state forces from the Troubles, there are hundreds and hundreds of unsolved terrorist murders, and people are getting more and more angry. So yes, that constituency to which you refer is feeling sore, but there's another larger constituency that's feeling that this is so unbalanced, and this is a very, very serious situation.
Michael Finucane, let me bring you in here. What's your reaction, first of all, to this pledge by Boris Johnson?
The terminology, I think, being employed by the Prime Minister is completely misplaced. To call prosecutions of members of the British Army or other agents within the Crown Forces vexatious is essentially to say that the police investigations underpinning the Crown Prosecution Service reviews and the DPP's directions to prosecute, assuming they follow the same processes that we do, are not to be trusted and are somehow being motivated by less than pure motivations. And I mean, that's just nonsense. I think what the Prime Minister is doing is preaching to a constituency in the context of a general election campaign.
But is it fair, Michael? I mean, I suppose you're not just the son of Pat Finucane, you're a lawyer on a day-to-day basis. Is it fair to try and pursue a prosecution maybe after 40 years? And is there some truth in the fact that maybe some soldiers have been unfairly prosecuted?
I think the term fair in the context of this debate is very much in the eye of the beholder. I mean, what is being proposed is a change to the general law. And that may well fly when you're talking about people who were in the armed services and served in Northern Ireland, and the audience is a Conservative Party delegation. But it wouldn't be difficult to imagine a situation where you take that situation and apply it to somebody else, only to have that same delegation howl outrage that someone is escaping justice. It depends on who you're talking to, and it depends on that person's point of view. I think, as some of the comments that Ben made a moment ago illustrate all too well, the fact is that the concept of immunity from prosecution for all persons who were involved in the conflict is one that has never really been seriously analysed or seriously undertaken. I mean, British politicians, particularly Conservative Party politicians, will always score well with their own demographic as soon as they start talking about prosecuting horrible terrorists and lauding the efforts of their armed forces or even the RUC. You know, a police force which, let's not forget, was so incredible and so unacceptable that it had to be disbanded. It doesn't play well with that constituency within the Conservative Party to start talking about things like collusion or the illegal actions of other state agents who facilitated many more murders than I think Ben was citing in his statistics a moment ago. This is a bigger problem and a much more nuanced problem.
Let me ask you something else. I mean, I suppose it could be confusing because under the Good Friday Agreement, you know, people voted for it and to support the early release of prisoners, and of course then there were the letters of comfort to IRA suspects promising they wouldn't be prosecuted. So perhaps perhaps if you come from Ben Lowry's perspective, it might look like a case of one rule for them and another for former soldiers. Do you see why people might think that?
Well, then you have to grasp and tackle the issue of no prosecutions against anybody. But then you're into that very, very biased mindset on many different sides, where one element is unwilling to concede the activities of the other in order that everybody can move forward. And that's really what we're talking about here. Because as soon as one, as soon as you go down the back down the road of criminal prosecution against even one person, be it Republican or Loyalist or British Army or RUC, well then that person's home crowd is going to come out in support of them and cry foul. So it seems to me that you have to either do it right across the board, one way or the other. And what Boris Johnson is trying to do, and what other people are trying to do, is justify the continued prosecution of one group over and above the amnesty or immunity of another, because one is more deserving than the other. That's really what the argument boils down to. But clearly that's no way to approach conflict resolution. And, you know, conflict resolution is not just as simple as everyone declaring peace in the morning. It requires work and it requires compromise. And this is a compromise that Ireland and Britain have really yet to solve properly.
Okay, Ben, it's a compromise.
Well, another way to look at this is to zoom out as to what has happened here. There are a small number of soldier prosecutions coming up, and there are a small number of paramilitary prosecutions coming up. But there isn't coming up, and there isn't likely to be coming up, any prosecution of paramilitary leaders. In fact, we've had in recent years a number of members of the Army Council, some quite uncritical obituaries of them, talking freely about what they did. We're talking about people who orchestrated decades of violence. Our readers would use the term murder and mayhem. Other people would say that it was legitimate violence. So how can you have a situation that soldiers are prosecuted for single shootings that might have been illegal and not prosecute people who orchestrated terrorism? That's a, that's one of the injustices in this. Well, the other one is the fact that the state forces are more vulnerable because they have records and because they are being judged in a lot of inquiries to the balance of probability standard, not the criminal standard of beyond all reasonable doubt.
Michael Finucane.
Sorry, hang on a second. I mean, like, so much of what's been just put out there is grossly inaccurate. I mean, I'm sorry, but it is. I mean, first of all, British Army members and police officers, on the rare occasion they were prosecuted, were not prosecuted for split-second, hair-trigger moment incidents where they perhaps called it wrong in the heat of battle. I mean, that's a gross misrepresentation of even the rare number of prosecutions that have been brought against soldiers. And when those prosecutions have been brought, the heaven and earth has been moved to defend the actions of soldiers, some of whom engaged in criminal conspiracies to cover up what they did. And on the rare occasion, again, that they were convicted, appeals were taken ad nauseam to ensure that ultimately people were exonerated.
Well, look, Michael Finucane and Ben Lowry, it's obviously a passionate discussion for both of you on each side, and I thank you both very much for joining us this morning. We'll take a break.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.